It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and today we're going to talk about a question that was of great importance to the church in the New Testament. There were many Jews that were expecting a Messiah to come and expecting a king to come and establish his kingdom, and they thought that, some of them thought that through them, through the Jews, the world would be saved, and Gentiles could be saved. But it was their understanding that the Gentiles would have to submit to Judaism first and then be introduced into this new kingdom. And then there were others who, realizing that Gentiles were coming into the kingdom without submitting to Judaism, thought that, well, these Gentiles, now that they're in the kingdom, they need to be circumcised. And except they be circumcised, they cannot be saved. It might be hard for us to realize what an important question that was to the Jews in those days, but for generations they had learned to honor the covenant of circumcision that was given, actually, way before the law, during the time of Abraham, with that serious warning that those who would not be circumcised would be cut off from those promises that God had made. And so now that there was a new covenant that did not include circumcision, it was difficult for the Jews to understand and accept that. Even those that had become Christians had a real struggle with this. There's an interesting comment in Elam's notes about this. He said they were slow to learn. So are we. And I think the fact that it's so hard for us to learn things sometimes should humble us so that we can see what a struggle it was for these Jews to learn these things. Now, there was a conference that was held in Jerusalem among the apostles and elders to discuss this matter, and it was to clarify what the Holy Spirit was teaching on these things. It wasn't for them to go decide about this doctrinal matter, but to become informed about this as the Holy Spirit spoke to those who were assembled through those apostles and elders that were gathered. And that's what we're going to look at in just a moment in Acts chapter 15. We'll be specifically looking at verses 1 through 11, and you're invited to go ahead and get your Bible and be turning to that passage. And we'll read this and look at Elam's notes. He's got a Sunday school lesson on this. It was prepared for the Sunday schools of July 26, 1925. And we'll be looking at those notes as we go along with this. Now, I'll remind you before we begin, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Brockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look. Acts chapter 15, and I will read verses, is this the verses I want to read? Okay, yes, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, saying, except ye be circumcised after the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension in questioning with them, the brethren appointed that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. They, therefore, being brought on their way by the church, passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now here are the notes. After this reception of the Gentiles at Antioch, and the return of Paul and Barnabas from several years' work among the Gentiles, certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, saying, Except ye be circumcised after the custom of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Paul was an apostle, and he and Barnabas knew the truth on this question, and withstood stoutly this erroneous teaching. And after no small dissension and questioning, the brethren appointed that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. These teachers had come from Jerusalem, and the church at Antioch very wisely withheld any final decision until it could be ascertained if the apostles and the church at Jerusalem had sent out these men to teach such doctrine. Since these teachers claimed that they were from the church in Jerusalem, the church at Antioch could not send them to some other place to learn if the church at Jerusalem had sent out such teachers. Paul went by revelation, a divine direction, and one of those who went with him was Titus. We read about that in Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You see, Titus was a Gentile who had become a Christian who had not been circumcised. All the 12 apostles were not at Jerusalem. James, John's brother, had been beheaded, and some others may have been away. The names of only 3 are mentioned. This was not an ecclesiastical court or council composed of delegates from all the churches and a representative body of all the churches. The apostles were inspired and taught by divine authority, and they, with the elders and the church, could say if such teaching was from God. This would settle the question for all the churches, and against all such teachers who might claim authority from the apostles to teach. Now, as Paul and Barnabas traveled down toward Jerusalem from Antioch, it says they were brought on their way by the church. Well, that means, at least, that they were accompanied or conveyed by members of the church a part of the distance, if it does not mean that the church bore the expense of the journey. Since nothing is said of their passing through Galilee, Paul and Barnabas must have left it to their passing down the coast from Phoenicia through Samaria, and they saw the brethren at different places through which they passed, and they declared the conversion of the Gentiles, and this caused great joy to all. Now let me read Acts 15, verses 4 and 5. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church, and the apostles, and elders, and they rehearsed all things that God had done with them. But there arose certain of the sect of the Pharisees who believed, saying, It was needful to circumcise them and to charge them to keep the law of Moses. Well, upon reaching Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas were received of the church and the apostles and elders. The elders were taken into this council with the whole church. As has been said, God honors His own appointments. And hence the elders and the church were not ignored here by the inspired apostles in this grave matter. The inclusion of the elders in this discussion shows the great importance of the eldership in the church and the esteem that they would have and the influence they would have. If the apostles taught the truth, it did not need the elders to make it the truth. But having the elders involved would make it easier for those who highly regarded those elders to receive the truth that was being taught. Paul and Barnabas met with the same erroneous teaching in the church in Jerusalem, for the Pharisees who believed argued that it was needful to circumcise the Gentile converts and to charge them to keep the law of Moses. There's an old commentator of the book of Acts named J.W. McGarvey. And McGarvey truly says, The essential difference between Paul and the Pharisees had reference to the perpetuation of the law of Moses, that is, the continuance of the law of Moses in the church of God. And the same issue has been in debate under different phases from that day until this. Paul defeated the attempt to fasten circumcision on the church, but later Judaizers succeeded in perpetuating it under the form of infant immersion and afterwards of infant sprinkling. That which the Pharisees failed to accomplish openly was thus accomplished under a thin disguise. The Pharisees failed to consolidate the law and the gospel, but their imitators have largely succeeded in teaching men that the Church of Christ originated in the family of Abraham, and that the Jewish tribes and the Christian congregations constitute one identical church. The Roman apostasy perpetuates the daily sacrifices and pompous rituals of the temple. Religious zealots have slaughtered Canaanites in the person of modern heretics. Professed Christians go to war under the old battle cry of the sword of the Lord and Gideon. The Latter-day Saints emulate Solomon in the multiplication of wives, and for those corruptions, authority is found in the laws and customs of ancient Israel. The intelligent reader of the New Testament knows scarcely which of these errors is the farthest from the truth, and he feels bound to struggle with untiring energy and ceaseless diligence to uproot them all from the minds of men. That was from McGarvey. And McGarvey could have said also that to these laws and customs many now go to find authority for the use of instrumental music in worship of the churches of Christ. You know, if people could stop and realize the difference in the old law in the Old Testament and the new law of the new covenant in the New Testament, so many of these issues would be settled. Well, Paul went in conference and had a conference with Peter and James and John. It was on this visit that he had that conference. He and Barnabas received them from the right hands of fellowship to go to the Gentiles while they should continue to preach the gospel to the Jews. They only requested Paul and Barnabas to remember the poor, which very thing, Paul says, he was also zealous to do. Paul's after work in raising a widespread contribution for the Gentile churches of Galatia, Macedonia, Achaia, and Asia for the poor Jews in Judea shows how earnestly and thoughtfully he carried out this request to remember the poor. The very act of all of these Gentile Christians coming to the aid of their Jewish brethren would help break down those barriers of prejudice and resistance of the Jews that they would have against the Gentiles coming into the church. Titus, who accompanied Paul and Barnabas on this visit to Jerusalem, being a Greek, was not required to be circumcised, although some insisted upon it. But Paul would not consent to it. And we read that story in the second chapter of Galatians. Let me read Galatians 2:1-10. After the space of 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, taking Titus also with me. And I went up by revelation, and I laid before them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately before them who were of repute, lest by any means I should be running or had run in vain. But not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of the false brethren privately brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ, that they may bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place in the way of subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel may continue with you. But from those who are of repute to be somewhat, They, who were of repute, meant nothing to me, but contrariwise, when I saw that they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision,